The first thing I wanted to cover is to talk about a few BBA issues. And I'm, like I said, in the interest of time, I'm going to not read the bullet points of these slides, but I just kind of want to use them as an outline to cover the material. We know BBA is basically the default rule for partnerships now. You're a BBA partnership unless you elect out. Some people forget to elect out. A lot of partnerships cannot elect out because they have a disregarded entity partner or some other flow-through entity partner. And so it's fair to say that BBA is probably going to cover most partnerships, at least most partnerships that would be LB&I type partnerships, the ones of interest to people in this room. And there are some practical issues that I have seen in the 2 years that I've been in private practice. The first on the list is stranded overpayments. So you probably know that the way push out works, and in my experience, most partnerships elect to push out. And also in my experience, the BBA rules are all about, are framed around audits, assuming that the IRS is going to do a lot of partnership audits. But in the real world, and at least this is my experience, it's AARs. Partners are amending returns. We did a lot of ERC credits. We had to amend, and most of our clients are partnerships. Every partnership return that claimed the ERC credit had to be amended, all right? And there were AARs, mostly BBA partnerships. We have situations where people realize they didn't claim a deduction or realize that they included tax-exempt income as regular income. Those returns need to be amended. The stranded overpayment problem is in a push-out. When you have a negative adjustment, a taxpayer favorable adjustment, they have to be pushed out, okay, under AARs. So you may have a partner who has an NOL. He can't use that. What it creates is a non-refundable credit. He can't use it. He may just have an NOL for that 1 year. That tax benefit is lost. It's gone forever. So what do you do about that? And I've got some examples in the materials, and I'm not going to, I mean, you can take a look at the example, but it's pretty self-explanatory. A negative adjustment in an AAR, and presumably, well, definitely in an AAR, creates a non-refundable credit. And if you don't have a tax liability, and the way push-out works is you file these AARs, you issue push-out forms, which are basically K-1s on steroids, and the partner reports the tax on basically the next file partnership, 1040 or 1120, or whatever taxable return the partner files. If it's a negative adjustment, taxpayer favorable, or credit, it creates a non-refundable credit. You have to have a tax liability in the reporting year in order for that to do you any good. It doesn't carry over. It's not like an NOL. So this example is sort of derived from the regulations, shows where a taxpayer who has a $75 tax liability but a $100 negative adjustment loses $25 and puts some zeros behind that, and pretty soon it actually matters. And we see these situations. They come up quite a bit. Now, the planning strategies that, you know, you can Google this. This is what most tax professionals say to do, is either, first of all, try to time when you plan it. If you reasonably anticipate that you're going to have taxable income, you file your AAR to hit in a reporting year where you can use the non-refundable credit. But that's not always easy to do. You may not know exactly you're going to be in that position in the following year. So what do you do? Well, One thing people typically do is they file notices of inconsistent position. And when you file a notice of inconsistent position, you're basically saying to the IRS, hey, IRS, we do not agree with what the partnership has given us. We want to do something different. In fact, we want to go back and amend our return outside the context of BBA. Usually you do that when you actually think the number is wrong on the K-1 that you got or on the push-out form that you got. But some people would say that, well, you can file it anytime you have a stranded overpayment situation. And Joy, I wanted to ask you about that. Does the service have a problem with taxpayers using notice of inconsistent position to avoid this stranded overpayment trap?